This morning, it's our privilege to have Dr. Brian Lamb, who is the senior pastor of the Fort Bend Community Church in Houston. He was born and raised in Hong Kong, and after graduating from the University of Houston in computer science, he felt the call to full-time ministry, and he attended Dallas Theological Seminary. He served at the Houston Chinese Church for 15 years and then planted Fort Bend Community Church in 1997. It's a multilingual, multicultural, and multi-generational ministry with a vision to grow communities of Christ-like disciples through spiritual formation, small group communities, Bible preaching, and teaching. The congregation is primarily from overseas, and it is growing. In fact, he was telling me they are making plans to build a large new auditorium. He's been married to his wife, Lily, for 38 years. They have two grown children. And an interesting side fact, Lily was one among the first group of women to ever graduate from Dallas Theological Seminary back in 1982. Would you please welcome Dr. Brian Lamb to our chapel this morning?
Good morning.
Morning.
It's so good to be here and see so many women on campus. And here the great news about the new auditorium. It was great seeing the seminary doing very well. Now, when I was in seminary, I always asked this question: what do I do after seminary? I spent 4 years here. This question kept coming up: what do I do after seminary? I asked myself, what does God want me to do? I'm sure you may have asked the same questions. What is heavy on God's heart? What ministry that God has particular interest in that I want to do? Now, I believe if God is here today preparing for ministry, I think he would become a city church planner. I really do. I think he will do urban ministry. I think he will go to major city and make an impact. Now, I was born and raised in Hong Kong, a tiny little space with 7.5 million people. The size of this podium, 250 square feet, would cost you $500,000. Then I went to Houston for college education, the fourth largest city in the United States. 6.5 million people in the greater Houston area. The Bible story started in a garden and ends in a city. From the Garden of Eden toward the city of New Jerusalem. So today I'd like to share with you a story of a city from the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1. Cities matter to God. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, mobilize, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it. For their wickedness has come up before me. The city of Nineveh. The call to Jonah is a call to the city. The mission to Jonah is the mission to a city. Nineveh, according to archaeologists, was a major city in the ancient world. It's established or started 8,000 years ago. And for 5,000 years ago, it was already a major city in the ancient world. It became the capital of the great empire Assyria. Archaeologists find the city in the land of Iraq. The inner wall is 12 kilometers. The palace built alongside a riverbank on a platform 72 feet tall, the wall go up another 66 feet high. A beautiful city. At the time of Jonah, the city reached its apex. In the 7th and the 8th century before Christ, the population estimated to be about 150,000 people, twice the population of the city of Babylon. It's a major city. It's a big city. Three times the Bible said this is a great city, big city, important city, heavy cities. The mission to Jonah is a mission to a city. God cares for cities for three reasons. City, number one, it's a center of power and economy. 90% of the U.S. economy produced in the cities. Number two, cities are also center of culture. It's a factory for culture. People live in the city, produce a way of life, and then affect the rest of the world. Number three, cities are also worship center. People gather together, they worship. Mega cities have mega churches. Romans built a city. In the middle of the city, they built a temple. Cities is where people worship their God. So the mission of Jonah is a mission to a city. And God commissioned Jonah and said, go to that city and cry against it. The command has no content. Bring a message. But what message? The verb has a negative connotation with a preposition against it. It is a message of judgment. The next sentence said, their wickedness has come up before me. Their sins has risen up. God is not a God who is blind, who cannot see. He is not a God who is dull, cannot hear. He sees and he hears. God cares about what happened in the city. And he sent his prophet to go there. Today, cities has a lot of issues. The city I lived for 40 years in Houston has many problems. It's one of the top 10 cities in the nation with the most homeless people. Its crime rate is twice, more than double the national average. And then Houston, if you noticed, is a major hub for human trafficking. The I-10 highway is a major corridor of sex human trafficking. Cities has all kinds of issues. Have problems, people live, living problem, living conditions, has pollution issue, transportation issue, health care issues. The rich and the poor live together, literally side by side, sometimes divided by a wall. When I went to South Africa in Cape Town, literally, the rich and the poor live together, divided by a small creek. On this side is multi-million dollars home. On the other side is people living in container, metal container, 30 people in a container. Has crime issue, racial tensions, gun violence, school education. We went to a high school. When we went to middle school in Houston to help the school. I never seen a school is that poor. Has nothing in there. It is in Houston. It is in Houston. Nothing in there. The children go to school with nothing. City has all kind of issue. Morality issue. All kind of problems. God hears. God cares. God listens. And God pay attention. For the second time, the call of God come to Jonah in chapter 3. The first time he did not go. God wanted him to go east. He went west. God sent a big storm, a big fish to swallow him up. Everything in the book of Jonah is big, just like Texas. So second time, God called to Jonah in chapter 3. Same call to the city, same mission to the city. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I'm going to tell you. Same message. In verse 3, it said, now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days walk. Exceedingly great. Same word appeared two times, one adjective form, one noun form, double emphasis. This is a great city, an exceedingly great city to God in Hebrew. This word thing means heavy, important. Nineveh is exceedingly important to God. It's a 3 days journey. Nobody knows what that means. Maybe it means visiting every part of the city. It takes 3 days. Jonah went to the city, spent 1 day, proclaimed a message from God, a message of judgment in 5 Hebrew words. Translated in NASV, 8 English words, in Chinese, 12 characters. 5 Hebrew words. It's a message of judgment. Yet in 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown, will be no more. The gospel according to Jonah. Message number 1. That God cares. God speaks to the city, to the people, through his prophet with a message of judgment. God sees. God hears. Now the response is unprecedented. The city turn around and repent. It's the greatest revival in the history of mankind. The people first believed in God, verse 5, and they call a fast from the great to the least. Everybody, including animal, put on sackcloth and fast. And then the king, the nobles, did the same. The king made a decree, ordering everybody in the city to fast. Do not taste a thing, including animal. You can hear the animal groaning, hungry and thirsty. And both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth. And then ask for everybody to call upon God. The same word, crying out, cried out to God. This is the second point in the gospel according to Jonah. God speaks to his prophet, to the city, about a message of judgment. Then, second, people respond to God, crying out to God, asking for God's mercy and love. That's a unique relationship between the creator God and his creation. Between God and the people, God communicates, speak to the people he created. And the people respond and cry out to God, asking for God's mercy and forgiveness. If you noticed, chapter 3, verse 9, the king was not sure. He said, who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we shall not perish. He was not sure. He was not certain that they would do anything good. But then nonetheless, he repented, and then he called upon God and then begged for God's mercy. Now, throughout the whole book, the same pattern. First, in chapter 1, the captain of the boat that Jonah was on, did the same. Ask Jonah, now, don't sleep. Call upon your God. Maybe your God will listen And then maybe your God will have mercy. We will not perish. Then later on in chapter 1, the people on the boat, everybody call upon the Lord. Jonah's God call upon the Lord, asking for God's mercy. Maybe, maybe God will have mercy on them. They are not sure. They don't know. They are not certain. But Jonah, the prophet, knew for sure. Chapter 4, verse 2. He said, I knew from the very beginning. You are a God, gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity and judgment. The king doesn't know for sure, but the prophet, you and I, know this God is a God of mercy, love, abundant in loving kindness, slow to anger, and would relent, it would repent of the calamity and the judgment he called upon us. This is a great verse in the Bible. It's so great that it repeated 10 times in the Old Testament. God is a gracious God. God is merciful God. God is slow to anger. God is compassionate. He's abundant in loving kindness. He relents concerning calamity and judgment. This is the God of the Bible. In the New Testament, this message has been carried through on the cross in Jesus Christ. His love for us is demonstrated on the cross. His love for the world, for God so loved the world, he sent his son to die for us. And the love of Christ, the love of God is manifested on the cross. This is God we know. From page 1 to the last page of the Bible, this is a God, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abundant in love, and relent. He will relent concerning judgment upon you. The story ends with a question. The last verse, God asked Jonah, shall I not have compassion on Nineveh? Shall I not have compassion on Nineveh? What a question. It ends with a question mark because it expects the reader of this story to answer their questions. Answer this question to God. Shall I not have compassion on the city of Nineveh? You and I, when we read this story, do we understand God's heart? Do we understand God's compassion on the cities? If you do, I believe you'll be a city church planner. You'll be in urban ministry. You will go to where people live and live among them and preach about this God of graciousness and love. Urban ministry is very hard. 2 weeks ago, we signed a lease to rent a facility in the city of Pearland, a city south of the medical center in Houston. We sent about 12 people to that city a year and a half ago, and now we have over 100 people. So we need more space. So we signed a lease to rent a facility to do ministry there. The city of Pearland is the number one in the nation in terms of population increase in the last 3 years. That's where people go to. That's where we will go to bring them the gospel, that God is love. At the same time, we leased our own facility in the church to a Fort Bend healthcare provider, a nonprofit healthcare provider, to provide, to bring a mobile health clinic to the church parking lot. Every day, people can come in and then see a doctor and get medication. For people who don't have insurance, 5 miles down the road of our church, there's an area, it's one of the poorest among the poor in Houston. And number one need of that area is health care. Children, care, health care. So we bring, partner with this nonprofit healthcare provider and bring that service to that neighborhood. 3 years ago, Houston has a proposition to vote on a city ordinance called HERO, H-E-R-O. It is an ordinance against discrimination, especially sexual discrimination. There's a lot of good things in there. But then one particular provision is that man, allow men to go to a woman's bathroom, a locker room, if you feel like you're a woman. Or allow a woman, if you feel like you're a man, you can walk into a man's locker room, you can walk in a man's bathroom. Now, the same ordinance has been passed in almost major cities, all the major cities in the United States, including Dallas, including Houston, including Austin. So the pastor and the church's church leader get together in Houston. We together campaign, talk about the importance of God's ordained gender, respect one another. So the ordinance did not go through. We become the only major city in the United States that do not have this kind of ordinance in the city. See, urban ministry is very, very hard. Last year, Harvey destroyed many homes in Houston, flooded at least 10,000 homes. The studies say those who are wealthy or those have resources, they rebuild the house quickly. 3 months, 4 months, they move back in. But it's the poorest among the poor who could not afford, who are still live in tent, live without their home being rebuilt. We visited a neighborhood 20 minutes drive from us. In an area lived about 100 families. There are 100 homes that are destroyed by the flood. They are from Cambodia. They are Cambodia refugees a few years ago and settled in that area and become farmers. Their house was flooded. Still up to today, it's not rebuilt. So we partner with churches, we partner with local community, nonprofit organizations, and help them to rebuild their home so that they can move in. Ministry in the city takes three things at least. Number one, you need to know the city's story. Every city has a story. Understand your neighborhood. Understand the story of your cities. Boston, the story of Boston. It is an academic city. The best universities are there. It is also a baseball town. They're in World Series. People are proud. Fenway Park, it's a temple. It's a sanctuary to the Boston people. This is the story. Dallas, what is the story of Dallas? Dallas has Dallas Theological Seminary. When I was in seminary, the last Dallas Cowboy was playing Pittsburgh Steelers for the Super Bowl. I learned how to watch football in seminary, not Greek, not Hebrew. And they shouted, they yelled, Dallas, we're going to win. Dallas, we're going to win. Because we are Dallas Theological Seminary here, not Pittsburgh Theological Seminary. I'll never forget that. When they fired Coach Tom Landry, I forever hated the Cowboys. When Coach Tom Landry came to speak at the chapel, I remember it was packed 15 minutes before the door opened. And then after the chapel, Coach Landry walked out. All the children follow him. 15, 20 feet apart. Don't want to offend this iconic person. Up a distance, and then look up to Coach Landry. That is the story of Dallas. Know your story, know your neighborhood. Number two, a holistic gospel. Preach the gospel. Our gospel is always according to the book of Jonah. God has a message of judgment against the city because the wickedness has come upon him, has rise up to him. Secondly, this message said, if you respond, cry out to God. Number three, God has mercy. God is kind. God relent of the judgment. This is a message of judgment and hope, of love, and then of judgment. This story hasn't changed, but the gospel has multifaceted in the city. Speak to the single. Speak to the homeless. Speak to the rich. Speak to the poor. Speak to the single again, the underprivileged, the special need group. Cities need a team ministry to reach a city. Multifaceted, multi-team ministry is what cities require. God cares for city. Number three, plan to stay forever. Longevity. Came from Hong Kong, a foreigner, and now Houston is my home. 40 years in Houston. I'm a Houstonian now. I love the city. Longevity, stay there forever. Become part of it so that you can personify God's presence in that community. Bring the gospel of judgment and hope to that city. If God is here today in the seminary, he would plan to become a city planner, a city church planner, and then do urban ministry. Shall we pray? Father God, your heart is so full of love. You are gracious. You are merciful. You are slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness. You always relent concerning calamity and judgment when we repent and call upon you. Father, we pray for the great city that we live in. There are many mega cities in the world. New York, Mexico City, Los Angeles, Beijing, Tokyo. There are a lot of people in these cities. Father God, we pray, you sent your servants to go to these places and be a witness for you. Give them the heart of your heart, full of compassion, and be gracious. Slow to anger and react, but willing to preach the gospel of judgment and hope. We praise you for what Dallas Seminary has done. We ask for your guidance and for your protection for this great seminary. Use every one of us to speak for you to the city, to the people. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.